I heard a story about a nervous young minister once. He was new to the church, and he began his message by saying, "For my text today, I will take these words." And they fed 5 men with 5,000 loaves of bread and 2,000 fishes. An elderly woman in the back of the church raised her hand. She said, "You know, that's not much of a trick. I could do that." The minister didn't respond. He was aware of his mistake and feeling somewhat embarrassed. And later in the day, he decided, I'm going to repeat the same text. I'm going to use this text again next week. But this time, he got it right. And they fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Smiling at the woman that spoke up the previous Sunday, he said, "Could you do that?" The woman answered, "Well, I sure could." He said, "How could you do that?" She said, "With all the food left over from last Sunday's." Although the story of the feeding of the 5,000 men, actually, if you were to multiply out the number of people actually there, was possibly more like 15,000 or more, given the women and the children were likely present in that crowd and the multitude that had gathered. And this story appears in all 4 of the Gospels. John's version has a slightly different meaning. John includes 7 of Jesus' miracles in his Gospel, and each miracle draws us closer to God and invites us to reflect on who Jesus really is. For the early Christians, this story got to the heart of something they knew was important about Jesus: who he was, what he was up to, and what he found to be important. John's recording of this miracle showed the creative power of Christ, and to set the stage for Jesus, talk about the bread of life that followed later in the verses of chapter 6. John's purpose in the gospel is not only to reveal that God is love, but to show that Jesus is God in human form and is at work in the lives of his people. Now, the loaves of bread we talked about this morning were made out of barley, the same barley loaves in Elisha's feeding of the 100 people in 2 Kings 4:42. Elisha now is not to be confused with Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God who preceded Elisha. And the names are pretty close together. But Elijah, you may recall, was the prophet of God who didn't die, but actually was taken up into heaven on a flaming chariot, according to the scripture in the Old Testament. Elisha succeeded that ministry and was given the staff that Elijah had used during his ministry, and he took over being the main prophet for the nation of Israel. The barley bread was the bread of poor quality and was eaten mostly by poor people. It was less nutritious, less tasty, and harder to digest than breads made out of wheat. The small lunch represents not only the compassion of God in providing for our needs, but how great God can do with whatever we might bring to him, no matter how big or how small. In both Elisha's feeding of the 100 and Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, there was food left over. God abundantly supplies our need until our cup runneth over. A few months ago, I was preaching at a church here in California, and they were also celebrating communion that Sunday. And about 2 minutes before the service was to begin, I was standing in the back of the church to come forward, and a woman came up to me and said, "We have a new deacon in our church, and this was her Sunday to bring the bread. And she's not here, and the bread's not here." So we didn't know what to do, and the service was about to begin, so another lady stepped up and said, "Let me run back to the kitchen and see if I can find any bread. We normally don't have bread in the kitchen, but maybe there'll be some there." So I went ahead and began the service, and when we did the offering time, in that church, they brought the offering plates forward to the front of the church, and she followed behind them with a plate full of bread, covered with a napkin. And so God had provided bread for that communion service. And we got to the point of the communion service where I was to break the bread. The slice of white bread, laying on top, well, still partially frozen from being in the freezer. But we got through communion. That's the main point. But for Jesus, it was more than about filling the hungry bellies of the multitude of people that had gathered around him. Jesus used his miracles to open people's eyes to see and open their hearts to believe by witnessing the awesomeness of the power of God. They, however, did not see the signs as indications that God would provide for their heavenly and for their spiritual needs. Jesus wanted the people to live in him and to partake of his spiritual food. But the people wanted Jesus to stay with them. They wanted to actually make him a king because they wanted him to stay around and continue to enjoy the physical food that he provided at these gatherings. You know, in order to make room for spiritual food that Jesus offers, we sometimes must starve our human weaknesses, such as judging or indifference or isolation, and begin to feed on kindness, compassion, community, and generosity. Does anyone here know what is the center verse of the Bible that we know, Genesis to Revelation? What is the center verse? Now, in other words, there's as many verses before it as there are after it. What happens to be from the chapter of the Bible that's in the center of the Bible, which is Psalm 118, and the verse that's in the very center of the Bible is verse 8. And we might wonder, does this verse have any unique significance, being the center verse, being at the heart of the Bible? And I'll read that verse to you. This is the King James Version. It is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in humans. That is the scripture at the very heart of the Bible, at the very center of the Bible. The disciples learned firsthand that God is greater than the needs of 5,000 men. And this gave them confidence that they could trust in him for their daily needs. At times, God will seem seemingly will set a seemingly impossible task for us to see whether we react out of fear or out of faith. Trusting God in faith means looking beyond what we can see and do into what God is able to accomplish, especially when he works through us. We can trust God in the storms of life. Faith is the key to the storehouse of God's ample supply. In spite of opposition, Jesus will enable his people to achieve the goals he has set for them, including salvation. John, by design, included this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 right at the same place where he talks about this journey on the Sea of Galilee by the disciples, where the sea became rough and they saw Jesus walking on the water. The water, as I mentioned, gets stormy. A few miles into their trip, they see someone walking on the water, and John records that they were filled with fear. And I find that to be a completely reasonable reaction. If I was out on a stormy sea in a little boat and I saw somebody walking on the water, I think I would have some fear as well. People, after all, do not walk on water. But Jesus reassures them. Instead of calming the storm, they suddenly, immediately reach land where they were going. And you know, that's actually weirder to me than the whole walking on water thing. Jesus is like a teleporter. He's there, and all of a sudden they're across the sea on the other side. The Bible doesn't explain that, doesn't give us any more information than that, but it is another miracle. So what do we do with these miracles? The people who saw them didn't seem to have much of a problem with them. They followed Jesus because of the signs and because they were being fed. But why do we follow? Sometimes we are actually maybe repulsed by the miracles. I've heard many say that, well, they insult my intelligence. I don't like coming to church and leaving my brain at the front door and having to swallow these stories and these miracles as fact or truth. But don't we want Jesus mainly to keep him in this little box of what is possible for us? You know, that little box we keep God in so he doesn't violate our knowledge of physics and science or doesn't get in the way of what we like to do in our lives and the comfort zone that we are in. It's like we are afraid of what might happen if we dare to believe in God who does not follow our rules. I know how the world works, and this isn't it. People don't walk on water. Bread doesn't multiply, and it doesn't come free. But in my experience, people don't rise from the dead either. There is no such thing as a free lunch or a free gift or a free grace. It would be a miracle. Personally, I tend to believe these stories, that they actually happened. If Jesus can rise from the dead, I'm okay with believing he can walk on water. Maybe God isn't bound by our understanding of the laws of physics. Maybe God is capable of more than we can even understand. Maybe because of the cross, because of the rest of the story, we can actually dare to believe that God is present and active in a broken world, even where we can't see it. Because God loves you, God does make you worthy. God does forgive. God does provide. And even though we might be afraid to believe it, even though we may not understand it, or even how it works, God is present. I want to close my thoughts this morning with the prayer of the Apostle Paul found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. I want to share this because I believe this prayer kind of embodies this whole message this morning about who Jesus is and how God does far beyond what we can possibly conceive, and somehow help us to maybe get to a place where we might step out of our comfort zone just a little bit and put aside maybe some of the laws of physics and other things that kind of keep us from believing the miracles for a moment and focus on what Paul said in this prayer. To the Ephesians, he prays that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his might in the spirit and the inner person. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all understanding, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.